Hey Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up, because we are Gator fans. So say, it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Good morning and welcome to a Wednesday edition, hump day edition of Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Today we'll have JC in the second portion of the show. We'll talk a little college football. But first, today we're going to talk a little pro football with Pro Football Focus's Steve Palazzolo. And we're going to go to the Titan MR hotline right now. We're joined by Steve. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. So, Steve, first of all, it's NFL about 6 weeks in. Who's the best team in the NFL?
It feels wide open. You know, Arizona's obviously the only undefeated team. I don't know if I completely believe in them as the best team. I think the Bucs are still right up there, even though they have the one loss. I think the Ravens at 5-1, the fact that they've survived, you know, to this point, a tough early season schedule and beating the Chiefs along the way. If I had to choose, I think it's the Bucs, though. You know, I don't, you know, even though other teams are getting hyped up, there's a whole bunch of teams at 5-1. The Cardinals are at 6-0. I still trust, you know, the defending champs with what they have as far as the entire offense still intact. Tom Brady is our highest graded quarterback right now at PFF. And I have the most faith in the Bucs going forward. So, we'll see. I think the Cardinals will come back down to earth a little bit, but I've been really impressed with them so far this season.
Yeah, speaking of Brady, I mean, at his age, is it unbelievable to you guys at the level that he's playing at right now?
Yeah, I mean, there's a history of quarterbacks, you know, and I think the media has gone overboard with this the last couple of years. You know, every time he threw a bad pass, it was like, there it is, there's. Yeah, they're always like looking for the cliff that they're talking about. Oh, he's going to fall off the cliff. He's going to fall off the cliff. And they've been saying that for 5, 6, 7, 8 years for Brady. So I think the most impressive thing is his arm just looks really good. You know, he's still, you know, if he needs to chuck it 60 yards down the field, he can. He's got good zip when he wants it. He's moving around pretty well for a guy that, you know, isn't the most athletic, you know, naturally athletic guy. So yeah, very impressed with everything Brady's doing. And he just continues to evolve his game with a whole new system in Tampa Bay, meshing what Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich want to do with what he like is comfortable with. And it's just been really impressive for a guy that's 44 years old.
Yeah, and you, as you said, you think the Bucs are still the best team in football. They have all their starters coming back. When you look at the NFC right now, would you say, I mean, the Cardinals, as you mentioned, are the only undefeated team in the league. But is the one team that can give the Bucs problems? They've already beaten them once this year. The only loss the Bucs had are the LA Rams with the addition of Matt Stafford.
Yeah, I mean, the Rams have that one loss. It was against the Cardinals. So maybe I should be giving the Cardinals more credit. But the Rams are just probably the most well-rounded team. They might be the most well-rounded team in the NFL, right? Matthew Stafford coming over, and I think our grades do a good job of this. Matthew Stafford has played well. He's played fine. I don't think he's an MVP candidate, because if you look at, you know, how he's playing versus the production of that offense, he's playing fine, but the production is through the roof. You know, nobody can cover Cooper Kupp, and DeSean Jackson keeps getting behind the defense, and you know, guys are getting open left and right. So I think the Rams are doing a really nice job of creating an explosive offense. Their defense has taken a bit of a step back since last year, but that's kind of the nature of defense, but they're really capable. They're capable of a game like last week where they just dominated the Giants, and you know, you've got strip sacks, you've got interceptions and big plays. So yeah, I do think the Rams probably match up well against the Bucs, but it's also, you know, it was a random game in week 3. It was in LA. So we'll see what happens going forward. But yeah, the Rams certainly have all the pieces to make another Super Bowl run.
When you look at the AFC, you know, the Ravens, I think, have surprised some people. Talk about the play of Lamar Jackson. You know, I was always one of those guys that wasn't sure how Lamar would end up playing, because I didn't think he was a great passer. He's obviously improved a little bit. It's very unorthodox the way he throws, but I think his running ability allows guys to get open. But just talk about the Ravens and the job John Harbaugh's done.
Yeah, when Lamar came out, what we always said, I think it was a false narrative that some people created that Lamar, just because he was so athletic, it is, that he would just run around and, you know, not play within structure. The opposite was really true in Louisville. He was used as part of the design running game, but he really wants to sit in the pocket and throw. And he always has that trump card of being able to scramble and have, you know, just be faster and quicker than everybody. But I think Lamar, I think what you said is the truth, right? Because they use him as a runner so much, because defenses have to account for Lamar so much, they just have more open throws. And now they've got a guy like Marquise Brown, who's got the speed to stretch the field. It's probably the best group of receivers that Lamar has had since being in Baltimore. And now you're combining it with some, he's really aggressive now throwing the ball down the field. He is attacking down the field. So when Baltimore runs as much as they do and attacks down the field, there's so many big play opportunities. And again, Lamar wants to throw. He likes to sit in the pocket. He's still not the most accurate passer, accuracy not being completion percentage, being actual ball location. He's not great in that area, but because he has more open throws, because of what defenses have to be aware of, Lamar completes more passes. So he's doing a great job. And I think he's one of the most difficult players in the NFL to defend. So yeah, Lamar has improved. But also his very unique skill set, you know, allows him to have more open throws and just be so difficult for defenses.
Steve, sticking with the teams in the state of Florida, we already discussed the Bucs. The Dolphins, man, what a disappointing start to the year for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one because, you know, part of what we do at PFF is to say, okay, here's the team that, you know, won, was it 10 games last year? In you know, you look at it and it's like, well, they had so many turnovers, and turnovers are just tough to count on from year to year. And I know the Dolphins had that long stretch of continuing to turn the ball over, it's tough to rely on that. And then offensively, I looked at them and said, okay, they've got a good group of playmakers intact. That includes Will Fuller whenever he's out there and healthy. But I had massive question marks about the offensive line for the second straight year. Right now, they have our lowest ranked offensive line. Tua hurt. Jacoby Brissett had to come in. So a lot of things working against the Dolphins. I think the line has been a little bit too much for them to overcome offensively, and the defense has just regressed, right? You're not getting Xavien Howard with 10 interceptions, and you're just not turning the ball over the way they did last year. So definitely a disappointing season so far for the Dolphins. I expected some regression, though I thought they'd look a little bit better at this point than just having the one win.
Urban Meyer and the Jags get their first win actually over the Dolphins in London this past Sunday. When you watch the tape, kind of give us a rundown of how y'all think Trevor Lawrence has played this year.
Yeah, I think it's been much better in recent weeks. You know, it certainly started slow. I expected a year that was similar to Andrew Luck's rookie season, where you would have plays where Luck would just look special, and other plays where it's like, man, what is he looking at? You know, it just looked like a rookie. I think Trevor's had elements of that, just not as – I don't think he's been – I thought he'd be a little bit better at this point. I'm not disappointed. I just thought he'd be a little bit further ahead. I was surprised that early on, say the Texans game and against the Broncos, just not having a great feel, not playing with great timing, I think was the biggest thing. He's playing with better timing right now. I thought everything he threw early in the season was late, not seeing linebackers, just some bad decisions. Now that since the Bengals game, I think it's been better. You know, Titans game was a little rough. So take that for what it is. But Lawrence, 2, 3, 4 times a game, makes those wow throws. It's like, all right, there's the talent. There are those throws that really only a handful of QBs can make. So that's what, you know, hopefully will continue to separate Trevor Lawrence as he gets better. But I think it's his timing, just seeing the game. And you know how that adjustment goes, Shane, as far as the game, you know, they always say the game has to slow down a little bit. I think we're starting to see elements of that from Trevor Lawrence, and that's what I'll be keeping an eye on as we go here.
Kyle Pitts got drafted very early in the first round with the Atlanta Falcons. You know, I think, it seemed like the first month they didn't use him correctly, but he had a breakout game a couple weeks ago. I think it was actually over in London. How is Pitts played so far? Has he lived up to the billing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's tough for do-it-all tight end to live up to the billing, but I think he's starting to get there. I think the Falcons overall as a team just really started slow. Their week one against the Eagles was just bad all around. It was one of the worst games any team's played all season. They ran into the Bucs in week two, and they started to, offensively, they're definitely starting to look a little bit better these last couple weeks now. How much of that's playing the football team, playing the Jets, that helps, but I think they're finally starting to understand what they have, to do more things offensively, to, you know, to get Kyle Pitts the ball, and that, you know, they've been rewarded. You know, he was their top target against the Jets and, you know, looked really good. So to tap into that skill set, you got to move him around. You got to take advantage of those mismatches. You got to feed him the ball. And again, I think the Falcons are starting to do that. I think that'll continue because, with Calvin Ridley coming back and Matt Ryan, you know, Matt Ryan's had these weird and flows in his season. He doesn't have the greatest arm in the world. It looks like he's starting to get old. All of a sudden, he's throwing the ball great these last couple weeks. So I think Matt Ryan will continue to click and see more production from Kyle, because, yeah, he's certainly shown he moves differently. He goes up and differently, and I think the Falcons are finally finding ways to feed him the ball.
Turn your car, truck into a rolling billboard for your business or brand with an eye-catching vehicle wrap from Route Spot this October. Mention promo code Shane, receive 13% off your vehicle wrap. A few more minutes here with Pro Football Focus with Steve Palazzolo. Steve, who's your surprise player so far in the National Football League?
Oh, man. I'm trying to think from a quarterback standpoint. I think Kyler Murray, I'm not terribly surprised. I've seen that really good progression. It might be Kirk Cousins. You know, Kirk Cousins has played, he's played good football these last few years, but there, everything that people thought was missing with Kirk Cousins, which is that ability to lead a team in the fourth quarter, that ability to just understand game flow. I feel like Cousins was that guy who, you know, you'd be down two scores and he'd, you know, check down a bunch and make the passer rating look good. And you never really had a chance to make a comeback. All of a sudden, Cousins, you give him 25 seconds and you got to get into field goal range and he's hitting that big, deep, big route and get, you know, flipping the field. And he had that great walk-off touchdown to KJ Osborne against the Panthers last week. I think Cousins is the guy who maybe is starting to silence some of those critics. He's just been incredibly accurate, maybe the most accurate quarterback in the NFL so far. So I think Cousins is a guy that just, you know, always kind of left you wanting a little bit more. And I think he's getting there. We'll see if he can keep it up. But I think Cousins is quietly one of the stories of the season. And the Vikings are a lot closer to 5-1, you know, than they are even 3-3. They're really close to being very much in the thick of the NFC race.
Who would you say is the most disappointing team so far?
You mentioned the Dolphins. I think they have to be up there. I think the Colts, I think the Colts will turn it around, but, you know, sitting at 2-4, not great. And then I'm going to throw the Patriots out there. The Patriots are a team where they put so much into their free agents this last offseason. They spent a lot of money and salary cap wise, it's actually going to come back and really potentially bite them next year on all of those signings. You know, they have the two highest paid tight ends and free agency history, and Kendrick Bourne and Jalen Mills and Matt Judon. These are all the additions. And I know they have a rookie quarterback, but Mac Jones has been our highest rated rookie quarterback. I think he's playing well. But the Patriots, for all that investment, not getting the return so far, sitting at 2-4. And again, a little lucky even in week, they lost the Dolphins, but a little lucky against the Texans to be able to pull that game off. And the Patriots are really close to being a 1-5 team right now. So, they're disappointing because Belichick's always going to come with high expectations. They invested heavily, and they're just not seeing that return so far.
We got a text on the Titan Mark text line. It's a question for you, Steve, and you may not have done y'all's breakdowns and stuff of that nature, but Jonathan wants to know, how many Gators do you see being a high draft pick off this year's team?
I do not have a good draft-centric view of the Gators so far. I do think we're starting to see the overall talent take a step back, though. And I think it's always the tricky part when you're evaluating college coaches. This happens all the time, right? You get a coach who comes in and it's and he does well, and you always say, well, wait till he gets his own recruits, and it's always going to get better. And it's like, I think Dan Mullen has done did a really nice job early on maximizing what they had, but you're starting to see they don't have the same type of dominant defensive line talent. I think the defensive back talent is just on the younger side at the moment, so you don't see the dominant players we've seen there through the years. And they had a really nice group of receivers that have, you know, slowly taken a step back over the last couple of years. So I'm not sure as far as draftable players offhand. I do know I think the talent, you know, has just slowly taken a step back over these last few years, though.
Another text here from Fred. Fred wants to know, do you see or expect Joe Brady to possibly take the LSU job?
Yeah, I don't know, because I think he could get an NFL job. You know, I think he's going to be coveted, and we'll see. I mean, Sam Darnold has really regressed these last couple days, or a couple weeks. Brady, you know, if he came out and his track record was, he made Joe Burrow and made Teddy Bridgewater pretty good, and then all of a sudden he turned Sam Darnold around, I do think he would be in line for an NFL job. So I don't know if he'll have the patience for that, or if he would try to, you know, try to go to LSU. But I think we're starting to see more evidence that, yeah, Brady is a big catalyst for, you know, offensive football, whether it was Burrow or whether it was what he's done at Carolina. So I could see him being in the mix, but I also know his name is definitely being discussed in NFL circles. So I'm not sure, you know, where his heart is and where he'd want to go.
Good stuff as always, Steve. Let everybody know how they can check out Pro Football Focus.
Yeah, everything is at pff.com. And we actually have, I can give 25% off our products with my promo code NFLPOD, which is, you know, from our PFF NFL podcast. Get 25% off all of our great stats and all the grades and everything that we have over at pff.com.
Good stuff. We'll make sure we post that that code and all that stuff here on Facebook Live. Appreciate it, Steve. Take care, my man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Steve Palazzolo joining us from Pro Football Focus, talking a little National Football League. Going to take our first time out. We come back. We'll be joined by JC. We'll take your comments, your text. We'll talk about whatever you want. I got a couple of things I want to discuss today with everybody, get their thoughts. You're watching and listening to Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. We'll be right back.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, won't back down. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. QC Kinetics, live pain-free with QC Kinetics. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Our gridiron sponsors are Auto ER, UF Bookstores, Celebration Point Town Center, South State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage, Silverback Concrete Co. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Campus USA Credit Union, Adams Rib Company, Doreen Wiebe Realtor, Caldwell Banker, M.M. Parish, Gator Dominoes, Celebrate Primary Care, Gator Bait Media, Rap Spot, Okito America, Gators Dockside, Style Cuts, Big Mills Cheesesteaks. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure you follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Visor's Tailgate and Rooftop Bar, located on top of Spurrier's Gridiron Grill in Celebration Point, is now open Thursday through Saturday. Visor's Covered Open Air Bar is the perfect place to gather after work or meet up with friends. You'll love the handcrafted cocktails and elevated shareables available every Thursday through Saturday. Visor's Tailgate and Rooftop Bar is perfect for fans of great food, great drinks, and great weather. Visor's not required. High spirits are highly encouraged. Visit Spurrier's.com/visors.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. I want to thank Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus for joining us on the Titan MR Hotline. Now we're going to go to the Titan MR Hotline, and we're joined by Corndog, JC himself.
Yep.
Good morning, JC. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Feeling the beautiful weather this morning here in North Central Florida, QB. I'm sure you're enjoying it as well. Yeah.
Yep, no doubt about it. Well, JC, before we jump into a bunch of stuff I want to talk about, baseball, Major League Baseball, the Braves had a chance. They're five outs away from going up 3-0 on the Dodgers. Three-run homer by Bellinger, and then they lose. And, man, could you imagine being up 3-0 on the Dodgers?
Oh, that would have been the all she wrote right there. I don't even think the Dodgers are good enough to win four straight against a team like Atlanta. Yeah, bullpen let them down. Luke Jackson usually throws a breaking ball with two strikes. At least that's what the announcer said. And he goes high heat. He threw it by Bellinger on the second strike, but then he tried it again, and Bellinger sent it to Santa Barbara. And the thing is that the Dodgers, if you give them an ounce of life, that's a team that can just take over. And I'm a little worried about this now because the Braves don't want to come back to Atlanta down 3-2. They need to get one game in L.A., maybe tonight. But I was also impressed with Houston, QB. You know, Houston had been quiet all night. Altuve steps up in the eighth inning and jerks one over the Green Monster to tie the game. That pitcher was throwing great stuff. And that just kind of opened the floodgates, and the Astros just kind of relaxed. They were easy. They were more calm at the plate. They didn't go after bad pitches. And then they just proceeded to score seven runs in the top of the ninth. So that series now is going to go back to Houston regardless of what happens in tonight's game. And I'm pretty happy about that because my oldest son is in Houston working, and he says he's going to game six. So that series is interesting now at 2-2 as well. So, baseball is fun to watch. Even though you may not have a rooting interest in these teams, QB, you got to love the playoff baseball, man. It's very, very exciting.
It is. And John says, is it John? No, excuse me. Joseph says on Facebook Live, brought to you by Melvin Law. Dang, JC even has his teams of the day all matching. I figured, JC, since the NBA – I don't know if you know this, but the NBA started last night. I figured you'd have the Milwaukee Bucks World Championship gear on today.
I do have a Milwaukee Bucks hat. That'll come later. I'm not thinking NBA, but, yes, I know the season opened, and I'm happy for the folks of Milwaukee to be able to see a championship team defend their championship. But, Joseph is right. You know, we've got a situation going on in the ACC where there is a possibility, even though it's very early – that Pittsburgh and maybe Wake Forest could play in the ACC championship game. They're both in different divisions. Pittsburgh's in the Coastal, and Wake is in the Atlantic, but NC State's also snooping around in that league. Wake Forest has an unbeaten record right now as they go into an open date. They come back with Duke, and then QB, they play at North Carolina, but the game does not count as a conference game, and I have never figured out why that is. Do you have any idea why Wake Forest and North Carolina play, but it doesn't count in the ACC?
This happened a few years ago, and I think it's something about they always have it because it's a rivalry-type game, but it doesn't count because then they have too many ACC games lined up. I don't remember exactly, but it did happen a few years ago. I don't know if it happens every year, but, yeah, it's stupid. It's absolutely stupid.
It's so silly. I mean, it just makes no sense. I'd love to have somebody answer that question, but not that I sit around thinking about it, but QB, listen, NC State, Pitt, and Wake Forest fighting it out. You got Pittsburgh hosting Clemson this weekend up in Pittsburgh. Take the Panthers in that one. You got Wake Forest coming back after an open date to play Duke at homecoming. They're going to stay unbeaten if they can beat Army prior to that. And then, you know, that North Carolina game doesn't count. So even if they lose at North Carolina, they still are unbeaten in the league, which is ridiculous. But that is anyway, Danny Cannell can now tell us how great the ACC is. I'm sure moms and dads are looking forward to sending their kids to the ACC for winning football, and they have 20,000 people at their championship game if Wake Forest and Pittsburgh end up playing in it. But that's their problem. I just like Pittsburgh. I like the quarterback, and I think after that hiccup against Western Michigan, I think this team's ready to finish strong. I really think they're going to put it on Clemson this weekend. I really do.
Yep. I want to get to this day in sports. We got a good one today, JC. It's brought to you by our good friends at Comfort Temp. Comfort is our business. Peace of mind is our promise. Comfort Temp's now hiring team members of all levels of experience. Great culture and benefits and opportunity for growth. $1,000 signing bonus for qualified positions. Give them a call, 352-376-2366. On this day in sports, in 1990, the Mighty Gators defeated the Akron Zips 59-0 in the Swamp. And our good buddy, who's now the head ball coach at Bellevue, and used to be the sideline reporter, Brady Ackerman becomes the greatest one TD back in Gator history. He caught a wheel route for his own touchdown. So that's this day in sports back in 1990, 31 years ago.
So that is amazing. And speaking of Brady Ackerman, you know, the coach of the Bellevue Rattlers, QB, you do high school updates on Thursdays, and I think, and you have Brady Ackerman coaching a school that is very small. And I understand
they're 5 or 6A.
That I wasn't aware of. I thought they were smaller because of the schools they were playing against, not being really big schools. I didn't know that, but they're playing Vanguard for the district, and I had no idea that was even possible.
Yeah. So,
why are they playing Vanguard? Why are they playing Vanguard? I guess my thinking was that Vanguard had bigger schools in their district than Bellevue, but I guess I just didn't know how big Bellevue was. Okay.
So I believe they're either 6A or 5A. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, that's certainly bigger than I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be a rough night for the Rattlers. It's going to be
a rough night, but hey, let's hand it off to Brady, man. Brady's had a
phenomenal year. They haven't won 5 or 6 games in the last 10 years combined. So
it's a great story. So whoever covers high school football should really feature what's going on down there in the pretty little town of Bellevue. I think it's great. Good for them.
All right. We got a couple of texts here on the Titan MR text line. I don't know who it's from. They don't tell me who it's from, but it says, good morning, QB. The Gators just lost our top-rated defensive recruit in Shamar James. Grantham has got to go sooner than later. Players have lost faith in him, and so are the recruits. Well, I mean, he ain't decommitting just because of Grantham. And what's interesting, I've had a million people reach out to me in the last few days about recruiting. And yeah. I heard this morning, JC, that Florida – does not have one player in the top 100 in America, and we don't have one player we don't have any of the top 20 players in the state of Florida committed to Florida. So, people have been on Dan and his staff for recruiting. I don't know how you make it better. I mean, you got to win first. The facility has been an issue, but that's going to be, they'll be moving into that probably in April or May. Then there's no more excuses. But, I mean, I've never been into the recruiting, but the more I watch this team, I don't think we have SEC-type talent right now, personally. Nothing against who's playing, but it's a fact. And I don't know how you make it any better.
Well, QB, here's the thing you were saying to me the other day, or you were asking, that you had a conversation with somebody in Jacksonville or whatnot, and the question was, why doesn't Dan – recruit, or why isn't he able to attract quarterbacks with passing and running pedigrees, the ability to throw the ball downfield and so forth? Why aren't those guys coming here? And
no, typically, what the person asked,
what
the
was it then?
What they asked me was if Dan is, quote, considered a quarterback guru. This came from a former college football player who's asking me.
Okay, that's fine. But
if he's the so-called quarterback guru, whisperer, however you want to phrase it, why aren't we getting multiple 5-stars coming to play quarterback at Florida? That's what he asked me. And I thought, I have no idea.
Right. But you asked me, JC, do you recall any a time ever in the past that Dan has recruited a passer? And I tried. Well, that's what, yeah. So, okay. So there's
that
part
has nothing
of
to do with that. Has nothing, I'm just saying from a dual, he's going to go get the guy who can run the football and throw a little bit. But my point is, there's a bunch of those guys in America that are so-called 5-stars. I think Emory was a 4-star. I'm not 100%. I don't follow it.
Well,
but regardless of the quarterback position, we got to get better players on our football team.
Well, listen, this Dexter kid was a 5-star, and
but he is not a 5-star. I don't know who rated him.
This is the thing. You know, you got to go by the ratings if you talk about stars, and that's what he was. And he's still, I don't know if he's still sacked quarterback.
But if I'm not mistaken, I don't know if he had many offers from, because here's how you figure it out.
Okay.
If Alabama, Clemson, LSU, and Ohio State are offering you, then you're probably a legitimate five-star.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's, and Florida's, look, Florida has tried to get some of these guys that go to those other schools. It's not like Florida's not in the mix. They're out there fighting for them. And I think they're trying to get these players, but for whatever reason, you know, they come here and they're just not wowed, or they're not impressed, or they're not, you know, they don't care about the 90s. It doesn't matter to them. They're not, they weren't even alive. So I guess the point is that, you know, Florida has had this very, very bad run since 08 and 09. I mean, the fact is the numbers just don't add up for the Gators the last 11 years. They have lost and been mediocre, and they've had awful coaches. Let's just go there. And that does affect kids today, because back in 08 when the Gators were winning, kids today were in fourth grade. They didn't care. I mean, maybe they were watching the Gators, wearing the jerseys and feeling good, but then when Florida started losing it, you know, after that, it kind of wore off, I would guess. I don't know. You know, people are impressionable. Kids are impressionable. They come to games. I don't know what they don't see that they don't like. I mean, it's a beautiful place. If the weather is fantastic, and they will have a facility here soon.
It's simple. It's simple. If you look at the top teams that recruit and get all the top-notch players in America, are the teams that are pretty much playing in the four-team playoff. It's that simple. Kids want to go play for a national championship. They want to go where things are very, very nice. And I mean, honestly, we went 8-4 last year, and we're looking at 8-4 at best this year.
Well, so, and that's right. Record does matter, but QB the 14th
and what
playoff.
What bothers me is I don't know how you fix it, because, you know, like I said, JC, I can come sit down. Well, if I'm a coach on the Florida staff, I can come sit in your living room and persuade you and kiss your butt and promise you this and promise mom and daddy that and do this. But it's still up to you where you want to go play, right?
Right.
Okay, but so I don't know how you get them to come is my question.
Okay, so here's a template you can use. You hire the right people to lead the program. And what do I mean by that? Here's an example of what I mean by that. When Clemson was getting its butt kicked by South Carolina year in and year out, Dabo Swinney was the coach. They didn't fire Dabo Swinney. They didn't let Dabo Swinney go off into oblivion. They stuck with him. Kentucky has stuck with Mark Stoops. They didn't just fire him. Mitch Barnhart said, this is our guy. We're going to keep him here. We're not going to fire him. And Dabo Swinney turned a Clemson program that was moribund at best, much like this one here, and he turned him into a national power because he knew what he wanted to do, how to do it, and he had the backing of the administration to go get it done. I think Scott Strickland and the people here at Florida are going to give Dan what he needs to get that program going. The problem is the fans don't have the patience because they've been living through literal misery since 2009. So you got to give this guy the time he needs, and you got to give him the resources, and that is how you do it. The 14 playoff is a relatively new thing. It's not something that's been going on for decades. It's something that just happened 5 or 6 years ago, 7 years ago, however long it was. It's not very long in the college football landscape. Dabo Swinney brought Clemson from mediocrity to a national powerhouse because he was allowed to have the time to do it, and he had the backing of the administration and the funding to build the things that attracted players to come to freaking Clemson. We're talking about a town the size of Waldo. It's not that hard. If you stick with a plan and the fans understand what that plan is. Today, Dan's talking about building and wanting to be a championship team because they lost by 2 points to Alabama. He forgot that that requires you playing hard against Kentucky and not playing undisciplined. He forgot that that means you can't go to LSU and get shoved around by a team that couldn't run the ball until you showed up. That's the problem. So you've got to get Dan to understand that this is a thing that the Gator fans expect. The expectations are up to here, and you're going to have 5 years to do it. And Scott Strickland has given him that. So I would tell Gator fans to just chill out. It's going to happen. If they get the facilities, they'll eventually get the players.
Brian Fox Jr. says on Facebook Live here, JC, brought to you by Mellon, the SEC is drastically different than what Clemson had to overcome in the ACC. It will not work to be patient, especially if Mullen is unable to overcome his deficiencies.
Why? Tell me why it's working for Kentucky. It's working for Kentucky.
Kentucky
lost to Georgia.
No, JC.
Kentucky is 6-1 QB and beat Florida. And they've beaten Florida two out of the last 3 years. All right. Well, Kentucky is doing something right.
So do you think Kentucky has better players than we do?
How about Mississippi? Is it working over there in Oxford? I mean, I think it's working over there. How about Arkansas? Yeah, they've had a rough run here, but they've won four games. That's four times more games than they've won in the 2 years prior. You've got to give these guys a chance. And I understand people don't want to wait around. They don't like to be patient. They think they can just go get the next hot item. Well, Dan Mullen was the next hot item when he came here, and now you're 8-4 again. So, you know, give them a little more time. That's really my opinion. I think you can't just keep shuffling people in and out of your athletic department or your football program. There's no continuity, and that does resonate with mama and daddy. When mom and dad see that your program has constant turnover in every department and every which way, they're not impressed by it. They want to know that their kid is going to a place where that guy who has been working on the relationship of bringing him to that school is not going anywhere. And if he is going somewhere, then they're not going to send their kid there. They're going to send him to Nick Saban, and that's where he's going. Or he's going to go to see Dabo, or he's going to go see Ryan Day, or he's going to go to Oklahoma and talk to Lincoln Riley. That's where they're going because they know those guys aren't going anywhere. You've got to
Those guys aren't going anywhere because they're winning.
Right. And Florida gave Dan Mullen the time and the money with this extension and this raise to try to do that as well. And I'm sorry, fans, you just have to wait a little longer because he's not going anywhere. So just give up on
that.
You're not going to get a new coach.
Talking about. So here's the thing, JC. Here's where the fan base has issues. It extends to recruiting and having good players. You know, the players that we lost last year in the draft are Jim McElwain players. The only player that may get drafted pretty high off this year's team is Kyer Elam, which is a Dan Mullen recruit. Maybe Zach Carter, but Zach Carter was not one of his recruits. People are saying that we don't have – I just told you, we don't have one player in the top 20 in the state of Florida committed to Florida. So, look, you got to be a good coach, but you got to have good players to win. You ain't going to beat Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, and those guys with mediocre players. It's that simple.
It's true. It's true. I get that. But listen, Dan Mullen has been here. How many years has he been here now, QB?
This is year four.
Okay, this is year four. So most of McElwain's guys are all gone right now. And
a few still on the team.
Okay, there may be a few still on the team. But the idea of saying, okay,
that's what people are – the people that blow my phone up and I hear all this crap all the time on all these shows is Dan won with somebody else's players. His players we ain't winning with.
Well, listen, he got his players at Mississippi State and they played pretty darn well. And he got his players – to buy into whatever they were doing at State. It worked. It got him the job here. Now, granted, Strickland wanted Chip Kelly for some God-known, unknown reason. I don't know why. But he got Dan Mullen. And everybody was happy with that, especially when Kyle Trask was setting records last year. So I just think that you've got to understand that, sure, the record is disappointing. But if you don't think the program is on the right trajectory, then quit giving the money. Quit going to the games and protest and say, listen, we don't want this guy here anymore. We're not going to support it, and we're going to shut our mouth. Or we're going to support this team, and we're going to bellyache about being 8-4, and you can do that. But it's I don't know why you think that if an angry fan base is going to attract, great players to come to Gainesville. That's not what people want. Now maybe it is. Maybe they want to show up and turn it around. That's possible. But listen, QB, Florida has been missing on recruits ever since Derrick Henry left to go to Alabama. The guy is 90 miles away in Jacksonville, Florida, or just north of Jacksonville, Florida, and you couldn't get him here. So there's been a problem with recruiting. I'm not denying that one iota, but we all know why that's the case. That's going to get changed, and I think that's when Gator fans will start to see the results. At least it better, or else there's a lot of money that's going to be lost.
Kyle says on Facebook Live, brought to you by Melon, and asked why Elam came to Florida. It wasn't for Mullen. I don't know why. I don't know what that means. So,
Everybody's got their own little stories and whatnot, but you're right, QB. If they can't win these games on the field with these players, you got to get better players. How do you do that? I say, look at what Dabo did at Clemson. Look at what Stoops is doing at Kentucky. And the one common denominator that I can bring is that there is stability in the program, and you have to project that to the recruits and their families if you want those kids to come to your program. If you project constant turmoil like they've had at Florida State, like they're having at LSU, you may not get the players you want.
What's crazy is that those two teams you just mentioned are killing us in recruiting right now.
Well, how do you know that? These kids haven't played. You don't know who's good or bad. I mean,
I'm going by. I was on a show yesterday, and they were talking to me about this, and they gave me the rundown of all the rankings, which I don't follow recruiting. But
okay, you're talking about rankings.
Both FSU and LSU were way, way ahead of us in the recruiting rankings.
Yeah,
and that's even after Ed O's has already been fired. So. It is what it is. I got to read this at Chris Doring Mortgage.
Okay.
Baby Mortgage Lending Right, helping home buyers throughout Gainesville and North Central Florida. Call Chris Doring Mortgage today at 352-244-0840. Here's my thoughts on recruiting.
Okay.
I don't know how you get people to the only way you get top notch players to come to play for you is win football games and do it at a regular basis. Because we just talked about the teams that have the highest rankings, they're playing or they're in the hunt for the national championship every year.
Except Florida State and LSU. They're not.
I'm just saying they're not in the top echelon. I'm saying they're beating us in recruiting. I'm talking about the top notch. You're talking Clemson, Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, Oklahoma. The question is, for Florida to get where they want to be, we got to figure out how to get some of the dudes that are going to those schools need to come to our school.
QB, I see that. But, you know, one of the Heisman – and this is very important. And I want you to understand this. One of the Heisman favorites who has just popped up into the scene in the last 2 weeks is a kid named Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams is starting for Oklahoma because he's the best quarterback they have, and Lincoln Riley has finally figured that out. Did you know that Caleb Williams did not even play high school quarterback his senior year? He didn't even play the position. I don't know about that, JC.
He's one of the highest rated quarterbacks. One of the highest rated quarterbacks.
I don't think so.
That's what I'm saying.
QB.
Yeah.
Look it up. Okay. Well, then Mark Packer is wrong because Caleb Williams was not sought of as the guy at Oklahoma. It was Spencer Rattler. And this guy came out of nowhere.
What Lincoln Riley does is he stacks his QB room with a bunch of five stars. I mean, let's be honest. It's a proven commodity when they come out of that system and they play in that system. I mean, hell, he's had two Heisman Trophy winners in the last 5 years.
It's true. I mean, Jalen Hurts.
If I'm a quarterback coming out, they're my first choice. If I'm coming out of high school right now, I'm going to play at Oklahoma because of the way their style of play. I mean, that would fit me well. So, I mean, he's going to get who he wants.
I got bad information about Caleb Williams because.
Caleb Williams was a five-star quarterback. He didn't play as high his senior year due to COVID-19, but he was a stud.
Okay, so that's what it was. That's what it was. Let me correct myself.
He was the number one in America.
But what'd you say about last year in COVID?
He didn't play his senior year because of COVID.
That's what I was referring to. He didn't play. Yes, he was highly sought after, but it's a kid that
he was the number one rated quarterback in America. Did you just hear what I said?
But he did not play last year. So did Dan Mullen call him? Did anybody look for him? Maybe he was number one rated, but he didn't play last year is all I'm saying. He steps in.
What does that got to do with it?
Well, here's what it's got to do with it. When you stay away from football, if you're not playing football and then you go in to a situation in the Cotton Bowl when your team is getting killed and you show up and play out of your mind. The coach, I'm not going to credit the coach. I'm going to credit the kid. And the coach got lucky in that case because Caleb Williams was not the star. Well, Caleb Williams played against Texas and he won the game for Texas. And he was not their starter.
Exactly. But he was the number one quarterback in America. He's a true freshman. He was not on Oklahoma's team last year.
But, he didn't play last year. That's all I'm saying. It's a lot of guys.
What does that got to do with?
Well, I don't know. You take a year off, a year and a half off of football, and then you come in out of the blue.
He didn't sit on the couch and eat Cheetos.
What'd he do, practice?
He probably still trained. And if you know how to play quarterback, you know how to play quarterback. Yeah, he came off the bench and played really well, but it ain't like he hadn't been practicing. But my point is –
But he wasn't in a football game in a live environment for a long time.
Yeah, JC, we got what Joseph says here. Hell, Jamar Chase didn't play last year, and he's still balling in the National Football League. Come on, JC.
So anyway, maybe that's a bad point I'm bringing up. But
Micah Parsons didn't play last year, and he's freaking tearing up the NFL. I mean, come on.
I'm trying here, but I'll just yield on this one.
But my point is, if the top-notch quarterbacks in America are going, their number one choice is to go play for Lincoln Riley. It's that simple.
You got Dan Mullen. Dan Mullen's pretty good with quarterbacks.
That's right. But my point is, or not my point, my point of the former college quarterback that contacted me, he's kind of got a valid point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean,
this show became 24/7's recruiting show today.
Let me just say this too, and I got to make this point about Anthony. You know, Anthony Richardson is probably going to get the start against Georgia. In a way, it's really not fair. He should have been playing against Vanderbilt, and he should have been playing against Kentucky more. Now you're going to ask him to go and start against the Chicago Bears of 85. And you're going to have this expectation level that, okay, all is well now. We've got the right guy in there. Dude, that's just not fair to that kid, to me. You're going to put him in that game as the starter for the first time this year when you should have put him in the game against Vanderbilt, Kentucky, and everybody else. And this is what
we
have.
He played a little
bit
against Kentucky.
It wasn't substantial. It wasn't of any substance. And the Vanderbilt game, why the hell didn't he play in the Vanderbilt game? Come on, man. You want to talk about come on, man? That's a come on, man. And, I mean, now you're going to ask him to go beat Georgia? You're going to go ask him to beat the 85 Bears defense? That's really fair, isn't it?
Well,
that's great.
Here's I mean, look, people want to see him play, and Anthony probably wants to play. And
I'm all for
it. He's going to be the starter. But here's my point, JC, and I've said this on the show, on every show I've been on since Monday. If you're going to make a quarterback change, which I have no problem with, they need to make some changes on defense. Because some of them players ain't very good.
Well, what do they got? I mean, they're playing the guys who they think are the best players.
We don't know because we're not at practice. I don't have the game tape. All I know is what I saw, that there's got to be some dudes on the bench that can shed blocks and make tackles and play with some effort.
It looked like those 2016, 2015 Big 12 defenses watching LSU block these guys. They just stood there and got pushed around. It didn't even look like they were trying. But yet these are the guys that the coaches are playing because in practice they're the ones the coaches feel confident enough to start. And I don't know where you go. If you don't have the horses, then you don't have a race. And I maybe Florida's just not there.
That's what people have been talking about. We ain't got the horses.
Then I guess you're just doomed for 8-4 mediocrity forever. I don't know what – I'm trying to give you answers. I tried to give the example of Dabo Swinney and Mark Stoops, but nobody wants to hear it. They just want to fire the guy tomorrow get all these great players.
Mark Stoops has done wonders for Kentucky. Kentucky ain't never winning the SEC. I don't care how great a year they've had this year, and yes, they beat Florida. Kentucky could lose to Tennessee, let's be honest.
Sure, but Kentucky is Kentucky, and what he's doing there basis. So they didn't fire him, and you know they didn't fire Dabo when he was getting his butt kicked by Spurrier and everybody. They let him go because they thought that they believed in a guy that could bring that program around. I think Florida's administration showed that to Mullen. The fans may not agree. That's all I can say.
Here's a great I just lost it on Facebook Live.
I mean, QB, is this guy being – go ahead.
I can't find the thing. It went away. But somebody said on Facebook Live, put the records away, Florida's records away. When you watch Florida, does it look like they play hard?
Well, against LSU, it did not look that way. Against Alabama, it did look that way. So, you know, kids are – these are 18- to 21-year-old kids, folks, and it's hard. That's why the brilliance of what Alabama has done over the years with the consistency of play and the consistency of wins should not ever be overlooked or overshadowed. And that's what Florida wants to become, and it is not easy. You have to have that process. And I think the only way to do that is to have stability. And if you don't have stability, forget it. There's no process. It just keeps turning over.
What happens is I've never seen Alabama not play hard every snap, because if you don't play hard there, you don't play.
That's true. Well, the reason why is because he can replace you with another guy who's probably just as good. So,
yeah. Well, there's two things you can control in life, JC. I'm talking to the youth football team. No matter what you do, it's your attitude and your effort.
The other team
may be bigger, stronger, and faster than you, but if you have a good attitude and you give great effort, that's all you can ask. I don't think we play with great effort. That's just my two cents.
Well, then the only option you have is to try to change the leadership, to change the – listen.
No, you
I don't
change lie. Players. Like I told you, there's some players that don't need to be played.
We just spent 30 minutes talking about why they won't come here for some reason. Now you say you changed players.
Well, no,
what players?
No, but the players that are here, and if you're not playing with great effort and doing your responsibility, everybody wants – like my point is, when you're not playing great at the quarterback position, people want to make a change, okay? But then when a guy's getting blocked and doesn't make a tackle and they want to blame the defensive coordinator. Okay?
That's fair.
You know, whether the defensive coordinator is great or not, who cares? But the player's job is to make plays.
Well, that's fair. I mean, that's a fair point. I mean, these guys should say, listen, these coaches should say to these players, you're not going to play now. You're going to get replaced. And you're going to sit on the bench and watch and see how that goes. I don't know how you get these kids' attention.
I'm just saying that there's some defensive players, in my opinion, that need to be put on the bench. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Well, listen.
And I don't know if the other guys are any better, but at least hopefully the guys sitting on the bench will give great effort and try. That's all I'm saying. So anyway, JC, we became a recruiting show today, and time flew by. We got to take our final time out of the program. Get ready for your Peachland Dentistry picks on Friday, my man.
All right. We'll see you then.
All right, that's JC joining us on the Titan Amore Hotline. We'll be right back.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, won't back down. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. QC Kinetics, live pain-free with QC Kinetics. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Our Gridiron sponsors are Auto ER, UF Bookstores, Celebration Point Town Center, South State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage, Silverback Concrete Co. Some of our touchdown sponsors are MB Listing, McDonald's of Gainesville, My IT Masters, Gainesville Neon and Signs, 84 Lumber, Tropical Smoothie Cafe, Avera and Smith, Dowling Signs, Baker's Sporting Goods, Ruse Ogra Agent, State Farm Insurance, Silver Cube Billiards and Sports Bar. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure you follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Center State Bank is now South State Bank, but we still put business first. We understand that small businesses need a community business partner that they can rely on. South State still has four convenient Alachua County locations. South State Bank, Bank of Ford, member FDIC. I want to thank Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus and JC joining us on the Titan Amore Hotline. John had a very good question here about Brett Bielema blasting his players in the presser yesterday. We will talk about that tomorrow. We ran out of time today. I appreciate everybody watching the show. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. Today's show is a wrap brought to you by Wrap Spot. Be safe. See you tomorrow.